he may continue to.
Yeah. Morning. You guys can really sing. Wasn't that awesome? I always say, thank God they don't have microphones in a pew, because I'd be done. I got trouble playing the radio, but I much appreciate people of God when they sing out to God. Well, I'd like to thank, first off, right out of the chute, I'd like to thank Pastor Mitch for the invitation to bring God's Word on this holy day. Tremendous privilege to do that, plus some responsibility. Our title, as you can see on the board or up on the screen, that's how old I am, is The Many Faces of Truth. And I got thinking 2 weeks ago when Mitch asked me to preach, or teach actually, because I'm not a pastor. For those who don't know me, I used to be a teacher. I've been retired now for, I guess, 10 years. Seems like a long time. But like you, I love God, and I just rejoice in the fact when I have opportunity to talk about the power of His Word, in this case, the power of His truth. I had a birthday yesterday, and my granddaughter, Ava, which is Tommy's little girl, after dinner, well, actually during dinner, Linda brings out this birthday cake, and I'm, of course, on this perpetual diet. And one of the grandkids says, you know, Grandpa really got gypped. And we're like, why? What do you mean? And Gabe, who is Tommy's son, says, Grandpa got no candles on his cake. And I'm like, no, we don't need candles. Well, anyway, after the dinner, real quick, Ava says, Grandpa, can we have a talk, you and I? And I said, sure. So we're sitting on a couch, and she sits next to me, looks at me with those brown eyes, and I'm done, right? So she says, Grandpa, you and I are going to learn Italian this summer. She's an avid reader, right? I said, Ava, you know, that's a stretch, man. I don't know if I can do that. She says, wait, didn't your father speak four languages? I said, yeah, but he was a lot smarter than I am. Well, anyway, there's a motive to that question. So she gets all done. I said, okay, let's do it. I'll send away for the Rosetta Stone. So she said, then, Grandpa, when we're done, I want you to take me to Italy. So that's where she says, come on, you've been there before. I said, I know. I said, okay, we'll go to Italy. So I'm reminded, though, when I got off the couch and went back in the kitchen that, you know, God sets up these very teachable moments in our life, doesn't he? And very often, God sets the stage, no matter what the arena is that we can speak into someone's life. Now, as I took the long way around the barn, I say all that to say this, that when I first got saved, when dinosaurs roamed the earth, one of the things that was just really kind of put me over the edge in regard to going from believing in God to really believing in God is God's truth. Not too long ago, I spoke at a church, and actually speaking on truth, and an older woman came up to me. I can say that now, right? I'm 65. And she said, you know, you're very interesting to listen to, but really everything you've said is really common sense. And I thought for a minute, and I said, well, you know, common sense or really God's truth has fallen on hard times. I don't know about you, but you turn on the crazy TV or you listen to the radio, and it's just, when you think it can't get any worse, right? How many times have we said that? It just gets worse. And I know the reason for that is that the distance between what is evil and what is good, that big expanse, is because that, for the most part, our culture has evicted God in everything that we do. So sadly, we go through life and look at one situation after another that just simply makes no sense. So that kind of draw me to our topic today, Let's see if I can get some of this technology working here. How we doing, JB? Oh, here comes the boss. Okay, while we're waiting for that, let's turn to Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. I know, I'm pushing the wrong button. I got trouble playing the radio again, so. Oh, it's going to be tough. Can you kind of work on that? Okay. We'll go to plan B. That's all right. Hear God's word. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You know, our text, our home-based text today, in Hebrews, gives powerful evidence of God's word as being the number one source for his truth. I think one of the things that really grabbed me when I first got saved in regard to the scriptures is that the scriptures really alert us to tough questions in life. And then here's the good part. They really point us to the answers that we should follow. Our talk today centers around God's truth, what it means to you and I individually, and what it means to us in a cultural way. There was a story of a middle-aged couple who liked camping, and they were out in the Tetons camping, and about 2 a.m, the wife wakes up and shakes her husband and said, "Wake up, wake up!" And the husband finally woke up and says, "What's the problem?" She said, "Look up, look up!" So he looks up, and she says, "What do you see?" And he thought for a minute, he was kind of groggy, and he rubbed his eyes. He says, "Well, I don't know, I see stars, and there's no clouds, and it's probably going to be a nice day tomorrow." So he, you know, kind of puzzled, he looked over to her and says, "What do you see?" She said, "Someone stole our tent." The point of that story is that we live in a culture, for the most part, that has stolen God's truth and traded it for a lie. Now, you got some notes in front of you. They're kind of some major, large spaces. If you've ever been in one of my Sunday school classes, that sometimes very difficult to follow in my notes. I'm like trying to nail Jell-O to a tree when I get excited about a topic. But nevertheless, don't feel like you got to write everything down. But statistics tell us that if we just hear some audibly, our ability to spit it out at a later date at best is about 18%. So if you see something, you hear something, you actually write it down, it jumps up to well over 98%. So this whole thing, hey, JB, we working? Awesome. So this whole thing about truth is that, you know, it's a great thing to have truth in our heart, but I think it's even far greater thing having the ability or the opportunity to share our truth to the granddaughters of the world, to our neighbors, people soon that we will know and get to know. Because not only do you and I have a story to tell, you and I have the greatest story to be told. Now, I thought, you know, how do you explain really what truth is? Because it's such a big topic. I mean, you could spend a whole semester in regard to what truth is. But I think sometimes knowing what something is, you kind of have to talk about what it isn't. So I want to look at least on the first few slides in regard to what truth isn't. Truth is not always how things appear to be. Truth is not always how we want things to be. Amen that one? I mean, sometimes we want to write our last chapter in our life, right? And in reality, God expects us to kind of take a deep breath and seek him in regard to the direction that we should take. Truth is not truth because most people say it is. Truth is not what presidential candidates say it is. I knew I'd get a chuckle out of that one. Has that been a horse and pony show? Oh, man. I don't want to get sidetracked. Okay. Truth is not what the culture says. Amen. Thank God, right? I mean, we're in tough shape as it is. Truth is not even what the majority vote says it is. You can't worship God without the truth. You can't be sanctified without the truth. I made a list, and probably you could kind of fill in on my list. You can't grow in Christ without the truth. You can't obey God without the truth. When I first started teaching, I had 32 emotionally disturbed 18-year-olds in my class in New York City. I made it out alive. But I can tell you in each and every case, something got broken in that family. God's truth got sold for a lie. So because of that, we see these remnants of broken families and people's lives just gone upside down. You can't truly face the storms of life without God's truth. Amen that one, right? I mean, as you look at God's promises, all of God's promises are built on the foundation of truth. I can take a deep breath when I say that. You know, the boys and I, probably 80% of our business is in restoration. And I got to tell you, some of the buildings that we worked on that are well over 100 years old, the ones that have stood the test of time are the ones where the foundation, for the most part, has stayed intact. And that's what God's truth does. See, God's truth anchors us. When the clouds get dark and the skies get ominous, it's God's truth that points us to His promises. You can't resist, the snares of Satan without God's truth. Being able to handle any circumstance you find yourself in takes God's truth and love to lean on. You can't be the husband God calls you to be without God's truth. You know, as we open up the Bible, the two greatest commands in our Bible, we're told, is love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. Well, our ability to do the second one is totally dependent on if we got the first one stowed away, right? You see, I can only be the husband that God calls me to if my relationship with God is correct. If it's not, I'm going to drop the ball. So this whole truth thing really has to be prominent in our lives because it really affects what we deem to be correct and what we deem to be incorrect. And sadly, what was right once is now wrong. And there's no more absolutes anymore. I mean, they're gone. I can tell you with good conscience this morning that what's right on Monday is going to be right on Wednesday. And I can tell you with good conscience what's wrong on Tuesday is going to be wrong on Thursday. You know, when Christ said, I am the truth and the way, He didn't say but or except. That's an absolute, right? So truth is the anchor that takes our faith and directs us in a place or guides us in a place that we should be headed for. God's truth isn't a distortion or fabrication. You can't love the unlovable without God's truth. You know, I've been saved now for 36 years. I'm not one of those people who can tell you the date and the time when the building shook, but I knew without a doubt when there was some change going on in my heart. And I can tell you, of all the old saints that have gone to this church that have really made an indelible mark on my life, like the Norm Baxters of the world and the George Rudds of the world, what I found out was that the people that truly love God truly love people. You see, you can't separate the two. Now, there's a lot of folks in a big mess, and you can't fight depression and anxiety without God's truth and love. And you truly can't value a life in this world without God's truth and love in your heart. And you truly can't know God without the truth. And certainly, You can't know yourself without the truth. I've shared the story before that the boys and I stave a bunch of steel, and once a year we go to the scrapyard in Syracuse, which is kind of a tough place to be. So I had the dump truck filled, and I had a Bible on the top section of the dashboard, searching for the word. And I went through there. There's this guy that weighs the trucks up, and he looks just like Mike Tyson. I mean, he's wicked cut. He's got a gold tooth. And all of a sudden, I'm in my dump truck, and I hear God just clear as all day say, Bashiani, give him a Bible. And I said, man, I am not doing that. You know, my picture's going to be on the Palladium Times. I'm not doing that. So I went through, got weighed up, and came in and got my check. And then I heard God very clearly say to me, not in an audible way, but through my heart, say, give him a Bible. So, okay. So I jumped back in the cab of the truck, took the Bible, and gave the Bible to Mike. Well, his name's not Mike, but... And he looked at me like, man, like, okay, thanks. That's how we talk. Well, a couple of weeks had gone by, and we saved a little more steel, so I made my way back, and I got to the scale, and who was there? Mike. And all of a sudden, I look, and I see him do this. I'm in trouble. So I get weighed up, and I make my way back, and he said, and I'm in the cab, right? I put the radio on, so I'm like trying to, like I don't notice him. He said, can I speak to you a minute? I said, sure. So I said, wait, I'll get out. So I get out. He says, look, I want to tell you something. He said, do you know that Bible you gave me? I said, yeah. He says, I'm not that guy. I'm a terrible guy. And I'm thinking, well, I said, for what it's worth, you know, I just was felt really led to give you that Bible. He said, no, you don't understand. That's a place where I need to be. And my grandmother's been telling me that for years. See, you can't know yourself without the truth. Now, what is the truth? If I was going to take one word, I was thinking this past week when I was writing this, if you could take one word to describe truth, which would be difficult, the word would be, ready? Reality. You see, truth is the way things really are and not what they appear to be. Truth is the fundamental characteristic of God. All truth is defined by God in the scriptures or the text. His word is truth. I am the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Truth is what God's word says it is. Psalm 119:160 says, the sum of your word is truth. Psalm 86 says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. See, one of the things you find out when people start walking in the truth, there is some amazing character changes. And one of the things that has really stunned me over the years is that the people that really have allowed Christ in their heart, there is a very observable wake, like a boat leaves a wake in their life as you look at their life. See, because now they start making more right shots than wrong shots. Because the closer you get to truth, the more right shots that you make. I remember as a young man, my dad used to bowl, and I remember him coming home one Saturday. He said, Tommy, you know, I really want to teach you how to bowl. I said, Dad, man, that's like watching paint dry. You know, I can't. He said, no, just try it. And I was little. And I remember, you know, the pins were just so far away. And the first shot that I took, you know, it was at the epitome of a gutter ball, right? It was like major embarrassing, right? So I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. While you're learning, I want you to get real close to the pins. I said, well, isn't the guy going to yell at me that owns the building? He said, no, it's okay, I know him. So he got me real close, like 8 foot, and I took this bowling ball that weighed more than me, and I kind of rolled it, and you know what? I knocked most of the pins down. So you see that there's a spiritual lesson in that. You see, the closer we get to truth, the more accurate we do this thing called life. See, because truth that comes from God is the real deal. How cute is that? God's truth is bold and accurate. I have a plan. Do you trust me, says God. The discipline of grabbing hold of God's truth is choosing between what you want now, and what you want your life to really be. Some of the folks that I work with during a week that are struggling with addictive behaviors, for a lot of them, they do not see the connection in regard to the decision they make today and the outcomes that are going to be there tomorrow. You see, and that's what God's truth does. God's truth is an alarm. God's truth is a warning. God's truth says, look, if you continue to head that way, there's going to be some dire consequences for your life. One of the things that comes out of knowing God's truth is you begin to realize it's not the load that breaks you down, it's the way you carry it. You know, as I look out this morning, I know all of you. And I know for some of you have been through some very difficult times. And one of the things I learned not too long ago is that, you know, the epitome of maturity in Christianity is not your ability to remember and recite scripture, although that is very important. But I think much to be said in regard to maturity is that you're okay with any circumstance you find yourself in. And if you find a circumstance or a situation in your life that is just so overbearing, our ability to handle that in a great way is because we have Christ's truth in our heart. God dispenses truth out of a heart of love and compassion. The Bible says that God is always up to something good. So despite the circumstances you may find yourself in today or down the road, understand that God has that there for a very specific reason. Paul in the New Testament talks about thorns, and he doesn't say specifically what the thorn is. In fact, it's very generic in nature. And I think he describes it that way so that we can kind of grab a hold of that whole thing that, you know, despite whatever the thorn is, despite whatever the title of that thorn or difficult thing in your life is, that God's got that there for a very specific reason. Now, here's the sad part. There are many people that don't really want the truth or don't realize they need the truth in their life. They just want you and I to constantly reassure them that what they believe is the truth. Believe that? I think so. So there are scores of people who end up going through life very, very far from his truth. Misguided, lost people are everywhere. They show up in our families, as friends, people we work with, and the list goes on. So here's the dilemma. When people are very far from the truth of God, they tend to believe, catch the words now, they tend to believe in things that simply aren't true. That's a contradiction, isn't it? There are two ways to be fooled. One way is to believe what isn't true. Okay, I got that. But the other one is to refuse to accept what is true. It's a double whammy, isn't it? Don't believe everything you think. Psalm 119, verse 53, I thought about my ways and I turned my feet. You see, God expects you and I to think. That's a lost art these days. In the old scriptures, in the original Hebrew, it's expectant for us to meditate on God's word. That's a word that's got beat up of late. But God wants us to take his word and read his word and let it wash in our hearts and then make a course change. So this whole thing about Christianity is about change. And I've read every book known to mankind on psychology and sociology, and I can tell you the biggest stretch for us as people is our ability to change. We don't do it well. The new buzzword these days by psychiatrists is cocoon. We cocoon ourselves. We get used to staying in a place that is comfortable. But God, through the power of his word, has a way of uprooting us and getting to us to a place where we need to be. When people are misguided or trade truth with lies, they become a target for temptations to enter their lives. The first realization of that is in Genesis 3. When Adam and Eve sold the farm, right? They traded a lie for truth. Then they hid, and God said, where are you? Well, God knew where they were. But you see, that's what sin does. Sin allows temptations and temptation to continue to come in our life. And then what happens is, We look up one day and we have no idea how we got there. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men helped me finish it. Couldn't put what? Yeah. I mean, who can't relate to that? You're kind of in a big heap and you look up and you say, how in the world did I ever get here? And the people that I work with that struggle, you know, they don't get to a terrible, dire place overnight. Usually it's a small, incremental slide towards the wrong way. And that's where you and I come in. You see, God not only sends his truth through his word, he also sends truth through friends or people. Right? The Bible in Proverbs says, thank you for the wounds from a friend. Because we can't change people. That's God's business. But we very often can what? Influence people for the better. Mitch, what time am I supposed to be done? Man, I am just getting warmed up. 15 minutes? Someone said 8:30. No, I'll be done at 9:15. Okay. All right, I found this, right? That the devil is not a scarecrow in Genesis. And he showed up in the garden and he's still on the job in 2016. You believe that? He's working, man. The Bible says he's what? A roaring lion. He's not some Persian cat that sits on someone's counter, right, and eats lunch. I mean, he's the real deal. So not only does truth get traded for a lie before people get saved, see if you can relate to this, but as believers, we also can at times compromise or trade our truth. Believe that? Yeah, because Paul says what? We battle the flesh. The truth, we know we're really rotten inside. I know that's an awful thing to say. But it's true, you know, if we don't keep our eyes on Christ, we end up doing stuff we shouldn't do. We end up being husbands we shouldn't be. We end up being neighbors that we shouldn't be. All because we traded truth for a lie. And I am sure this morning that truth only flourishes when we live a life that practices the presence of God, his presence of God each day. How do you do that? Okay, it's easy for me. I mean, I'm an old rock and roll guy. I used to be a band in New York, and if I listen to old rock and roll as much as I love that stuff, it takes me to places I shouldn't be. So my truck has one station, and it's the Christian station. Because if I practice the presence of God, one of the things I need to do is take music, in this case God's music, and let it wash me during the day. And the books we read, right? We got to be awful careful of the stuff that we let in here, because then it goes down to here. Once again, I thought about my ways and I what? Turn my feet. So this whole thing about walking with God, really there's two aspects. Number one, you put the truth in your heart and then you make a course change. Now, one of the things I didn't share with you is that it's not enough just to know God's word. The Bible says that even the devil knows the truth of God. You see, if we're to glorify God, and I'm sure we are because it tells us that in the scriptures, the way to glorify God is that you take his truth and you put it into action or practice. So what does that look like, Bashiani? It looks like you start putting virtues in your life that maybe are just so different than you are. So all of a sudden you got this whole extra antenna system where if you go by someone who's just really having a hard time, you know, when I was a young man, you could hit me with a 6x6 and I wouldn't cry. I was born in the South Bronx. Most people don't get out of there alive. And to shed a tear was a tremendous message of weakness. But when I got saved 36 years ago, man, I put Scott Tissue back into business. Because that's what happens with God's truth. It what? Touches your heart. Paul sums it up in Romans in regard to the plight of our culture, our so-called culture. The Bible doesn't call it culture, it calls it the world, right? So truth is a message of God that all humanity has repressed in exchange for a lie. So if you and I wake up tomorrow morning without the real truth, I mean, isn't it? It's a terrible place to be, right? I mean, the train's coming down the track, man. and you're not getting away. So folks that sadly have a steady diet of non-truth places people in dark places they were never, ever created to be. Since we live in a world that denies God's truth and his desired paths for our lives, the examples of broken lives scatter the landscape. The very good news is our compassionate God calls us out of the darkness by calling us to embrace his truth. But before truth can set people free, they have to realize the lies that are holding them hostage. This is where you and I come in.
And I got 8 minutes. Okay, I can do this.
You see, when we truly love God and his truth, our hearts can't help but go out to the millions of folks who are lost. Understand that every single person that is in your life is not there by chance. The Bible scholars talk about not only the all-seeing God, but the sovereignty of God, kind of stretching for that word. In other words, that God sets up these relational things. Time magazine says that the average person that lives in a city, I know we don't live in a city, rubs shoulders with 1,800 people a day. All right, so maybe in Pulaski, maybe 400 people you see in shopping and when you're getting fuel or in your family and people that you work with. And every single person that you find in your life is there for a specific reason. Helping someone change for the better usually begins with people seeing some issues with their current actions and lifestyles that presently in. The warning signs go on. Warning signs go up, right? The beacons go up. Something isn't right. Life's not supposed to be like this. People aren't supposed to beat me up. People aren't supposed to abuse me. So how do we grab hold of people by the hand and help them get to a place where they need to be? Well, it's all about the introduction. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You say, well, Tom, isn't that terribly narrow-minded? That's what God says. You know, I wish it could be different, that all people could enter heaven and get saved, but the reality is there has to be a change in our life. You know, you and I serve a redemptive God. That means he grabs us by the hand and helps us get to a place where we need to be. He uses his word. He uses you and I. He uses situations, all for the purpose to get us to a place where we love God more than life itself. You see, it's far wiser to find out what the truth is than to suppose what it is. And that's the dilemma. Remember, a good man will be honest no matter how painful the truth is. A coward, however, will always hide behind lies and deceit. And that's what the devil does. The truth is, unless we let go of what isn't truth and grab a hold of what truth really is, things will never get better. Things will never change. With God's help, we can defeat the attacks of the devil and get on the right path. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in the judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Okay, the Bible tells me in my study that God is incapable of lying. So every single word that comes out of his Bible is truth. Truth provides that path to a victorious life in Christ. God's principle of the path is operating in your life every minute of the day. Now, we all have different paths in our life. We have financial paths, we have spiritual paths, we have emotional paths, and we have moral paths. And every single path that you find yourself in needs to be filled with God's truth. God not only lays out the path for your life and my life with truth, he also warns us of the ones that we should, stay away from. Simple formula. The road you're on always determines where you will end up. So direction, if you're taking notes, this is a good one to put down. Direction determines destination. So it's all about the current direction you're on in your financial path and your moral path. See, if I came into a lot of money and I said this morning, look, I'm taking you all to Disney World next Monday. Pack your stuff, go to Rite Aid and buy all the sunscreen you can buy all the beach towels you can buy. I'm picking you up Monday morning at 5 in the morning. Tom, get packing, we're going. So you get there, we all load on the bus, we're all smiling, we're all happy, and we're singing Christian songs, by the way. And we get on that bus, and we get to 81, but instead of taking 81 south, we take 81 north. So you're never going to make it. Direction determines destination. Okay, number two, almost done. The priority of truth. God daily looks at our lives by our relative relationship to his truth. By that, he does. Now, he doesn't look in a condemning way. Although there is going to be a time where all of us are going to be at a time to take our lives and put them towards Christ if we haven't, right? But right now, there's still time to turn your life around. You and I still have time to become the person that God wants us to be. And in my case, I had to go from believing in God to really believing in God. Because I always believed in God. I was a good Catholic boy, right? I could recite my prayers. And even when the nuns hit me on my knuckles with the ruler, I didn't not like God, right? So God took me through this whole journey and says, okay, here's the deal. You got to continue to keep your sights on my truth. I will lead the blind by a way they do not know, and paths they do not know. I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them, and rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them or leave them not undone. Okay, this is a big one for me. Ready? Truth is corrective. One of the favorite scriptures I learned as a young man was in Jeremiah, and it talked about the potter's wheel. Remember that? And it just spoke volumes to me. Because I knew as I read that, and I kind of took it in my heart, that the truth be known with all that is that all of us are always on the wheel. You see, God wants to fashion us to be more like him. And in my case, there's a lot of work to do. But nevertheless, God, thank God, doesn't give up on us. That's the power of God's word. It's living and active. God's word has a pulse. It's not some dusty book that you put on a bookcase. It's a book that just empowers you to do the things that you need to do. RK, our responsibility to truth. With knowing the truth comes an important responsibility God expects us to shoulder, and that's to share his word. God often sends truth through a friend. The wounds from a friend can be trusted. The people in our lives are not there by chance. They belong there. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. You see, having a soft heart is not a real manly thing. But I'm convinced that it takes courage to have a soft heart, not weakness. Compassion takes God's grace. That's why most people simply judge others rather than reaching out to them. Because all of a sudden, this whole judgmental thing goes out the window when we start taking on the attributes of Christ. We look at people differently, even if they smell different, even if they act different, even if they talk differently. You see, that book has transcended generations, has transcended cultures. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. Christ is Christ. Truth is truth. So that's why when you run across someone that's having a hard time and you got Christ in your heart, you got a broken heart. You can't help but have that. A lie doesn't become truth, a wrong doesn't become right, and an evil doesn't become good until God gets involved. It's important for believers to remember to stand and share what is right, even if that means standing alone. Doesn't matter if people agree with us. I think our biggest challenge in life, ready for this? And I'm almost out of time. Our biggest challenge in life is that we need not be, ready for the word, average. You and I ought to stick out of the crowd. Because we love more than most people. Because we're more sincere than most people. Because we go above and beyond what's expected in the culture. All because we have Christ in our heart. So once again, not only do we have a story to tell, we got the best story to tell. Truth doesn't have different versions. People can't get saved without truth. People can't go to heaven without God's truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. So, in closing today, here's my prayer. Ready? Lord, teach us to love. Because you see, if we got love in our heart, it doesn't matter if we mess up the story, if we don't have it exactly said, if audibly we don't say the things that we could say maybe a little better, because love covers what? All things. And of all the fruit salad that God is expecting us to have in our lives, it's this whole love thing that just takes prominence, or should take prominence in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being the author of truth. And I pause here this morning because there are aspects in all our lives that need some more light in regard to your truth. I hold up these folks and the families they represent, Lord. Send truth their way. We look with anticipation, Lord, what you're going to do in our lives. In sweet Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good week. Don't be average. Thanks, JB.